is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Mystery drone spotted flying low over areas of the Northeast, including New Jersey, where a group of mayors attended a briefing. Pequannock Township Mayor Ryan Hurd.
We're not just talking about flying over at 5 or 10 or 30,000 feet like a regular plane. We're talking about a couple of hundred feet over your house, over my house.
The White House says President Biden's been briefed on the drones, and the DHS and FBI continue investigating the incidents. The suspect in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, 26-year-old Luigi Mangione, is being held without bond in Pennsylvania as he fights extradition to New York. This is investigators have now linked shell casings found at the site of the shooting with a gun found on Mangione. Fire officials in Southern California say the Franklin fire burning in Malibu is about 7% contained. That fire has burned through more than 4,000 acres and destroyed several structures and is being fanned by Santa Ana winds up to 75 miles per hour. This is ABC News. The Wisconsin father accused of faking his own death and going overseas is now back in the U.S. facing criminal charges. ABC's Andrea Fujii.
According to the criminal complaint, Borgore now admits planting the kayak and placing his belongings in a tackle box, which he sank in the lake, then paddled back to shore in a raft. When he got out, he realized he was leaving muddy footprints and attempted to wash the footprints off of the road. Riding an e-bike, then a Greyhound bus, he made it to Canada, then flew from Toronto to Paris and onto the country of Georgia, where police say a woman he had met online picked him up.
Following their failed merger, grocery giant Albertsons has filed a lawsuit against rival Kroger, claiming the Ohio-based grocery chain failed to exercise best efforts to move the deal forward. New Jersey lawmakers are expected to take up a measure today to try to limit the amount of plastic packaging used in the state. It would require all materials to be recyclable or compostable by 2034. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers add some lefties. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. At the winter baseball meetings, the Brewers have added two left-handed minor league pitchers to their 40-man roster, Connor Thomas from the Cardinals and Grant Wolfram from the Texas Rangers. College football, the Badgers need a new quarterback. Braden Locke says he's entering the transfer portal. So is Tyler Van Dyke. Last night, receiver Trek Kekahuna changed his mind and will return to Wisconsin. NFL, the Packers face the Seahawks, led by their new head coach, Mike McDonald, former Ravens defensive coordinator Matt LaFleur.
I think Mike's done an outstanding job. It's a great scheme. They can throw a lot of different coverages at you, a lot of different fronts, different looks, and then you combine that with really good players, then it can be a problem.
Seattle's Mike McDonald.
They play a great brand of football. They've been doing it throughout their entire franchise history, and especially since Matt's got there and doing his thing, so we got a lot of respect for them and how they play.
That's Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even though the parents have already been met several times, there is talk of a new Meet the Parents chapter. Deadline reports that actors Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, Ben Stiller, and Blythe Danner are in talks to appear in the new film. Most of the producer team is returning, but there is no one attached yet to direct. Details about the plot are being kept hush-hush. What on earth could this possibly be about? I'm guessing family-related discomfort. We are learning a lot about Jamie Foxx thanks to his new comedy special on Netflix. In addition to addressing his stroke a couple years ago and the 20-day coma that followed, Foxx used the platform to announce that he is done dating white women, adding humorously that he will no longer eat potato salad and raisins. Before you judge him, if you are, I'm done dating white women too, mostly because I'm married to a white woman who loves potato salad. I don't get it either, Jamie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cold, but not as windy today. Mostly sunny with a high between 5 and 10 this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the single digits below zero. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 18 with some light freezing rain and snow by Friday night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 5 below.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar before talking about giving back for the holidays with Major Beverly Bates from the Salvation Army Christmas Family Feast.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, December 12th, 2024, and it's, no, not going to sugarcoat it for you. It's a cold, cold day to welcome you here up north from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, Civic Media app, by podcast, watching us on Facebook or YouTube. Thanks for starting your day right here. You know the question I got for you. Cold enough for you? Here, let me bring up the temperatures. The 6 a.m. temperatures at the bus stop look like this. It is 8 below zero. Here on Lake Wissota, the wind chill is 23 below. In Hayward right now, it's minus 14. Wausau's at 9 below zero. La Crosse, 5 below. Amory, minus 11. Wisconsin Rapids is 8 below. Green Bay is at 2 below zero. Madison at 1 degree below zero. Waukesha, it's 2 below right now. If only there were a place. Is there any place in the state that is above zero that is, well, wait a minute. Is that a palm tree that I see there, Greg Bach basking under, where it's 2 degrees above zero? So, yeah. There's Mr. Bach on the beach where it's, yeah, above zero, kind of, sort of. Tony and Ashland started off on YouTube saying, let's get this day started. And then he says, it's a balmy minus 4 in Ashland. And Alicia writes in, I'm a block of ice.
Hi, block of ice.
We started with the best of intentions, and we're just like, no, we're all going to be miserably cold together, because that's what we got today.
I woke up this morning, and I said to the dog, I go, all right, let's go outside for exactly 1 minute.
Uh-huh. And how long did the dog last?
She was not even 15 seconds. She got out there. Yeah. She understood the assignment. She went right back inside.
It's nice when dogs do that, because you know what? Not every dog does.
Yeah.
Dogs are like, nope, too cold, coming back in. Yeah. Like, no, you're not coming back in.
You get to do this wherever you want. So here's the thing. You got to do it now.
Yeah. Well, fine. I'll leave it right here on your welcome mat. I'm not going far away at all. So it's, it's dog life.
Yeah,
that's really all there is to it. But that's the story here, below zero, and with advisories till at least the noon hour, for the wind and for the cold temperatures. And so, stating the obvious, bundle up, but it is not going to last very long. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be along in just a bit to give us forecast details, less than an hour from now. Coming up on the program today, we will talk to Joe Zepecki, it being Thursday and all, and we'll talk about the next legislative session that gets started next month. And the legislature will still be controlled by Republicans, but they have a much thinner majority. So you have to wonder why Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is betting that he can run the same playbook of obstructing the things that Wisconsinites want from state government. So Joe will talk about how, you know, with fairer maps, there are now going to be Republican lawmakers who have to go back home and show the folks that they did something. So maybe they can work together with Democrats and Governor Evers, especially with a $4 billion surplus, to get things done. In our second hour, we'll talk about the two candidates for state superintendent of public instruction. There are two candidates now, the incumbent and a challenger. Neither one a political conservative. Both are on the progressive side of the field. We'll tell you more about that race that comes to a head on April 1st, same day as the state Supreme Court election. And we will talk to Sean Fedeplace from the Main Street Alliance about small business priorities for the legislature, especially the need to expand Badger Care to bring stable health care coverage to more working families. You can join us throughout the course of the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use it by phone. You can do it in the Civic Media app. You can text us or call us there. You can also put a comment on the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, the Up North News YouTube page. Put a comment or a question in the comment section, and we may put it up on screen and respond to that. Every morning here at Up North News, we put out a daily newsletter that we'd love to have you be a subscriber to. You can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner at the top of our homepage. In there, there is a my recent column that you can also find on our website on how Assembly Speaker Voss is repeating a common budgeting trick. And it's one that kind of came home to me literally yesterday when I got my property tax bill. And the property tax bill for me was not the same exercise in anger that it is for others. For so many others, they'll look at this and they'll look like I'm looking at right now at the line for the Chippewa Falls School District. And they'll see a big old number next to the school district. And down below, they'll see lines where taxes are higher in three different phases over the next few years because of a referendum that passed. So a lot of people will hear Robin Voss talking about major education spending investments by the last legislature. And they'll think, well, the legislature did their job, but why are my school taxes still so high? Because Robin Voss and the Republicans didn't actually put money into schools. They did put money toward property tax relief. Okay, that's fine. But they called it, you know, a school levy tax credit. As we've mentioned on the show before, schools don't get a dime of that. That doesn't buy, you know, an extra crayon or a book or anything. So you call it school spending, but it's not. So my frustration is more with the fact that for more than a decade now, Wisconsin residents are being lied to on their property tax bills, because nowhere on here does it explain how much of this money under the school district line is actually skimmed off the top and does not go to your local school district. It goes to the voucher school program, which there may be voucher schools in your district. There may not be. And then that money just goes right out of the district to help other families whose kids were probably already going to private school anyway, who probably can afford it just fine anyway. But now they get extra help because Republican legislators, in their quest to attack public education and promote private and for-profit education, have decided to fund two school systems in Wisconsin. Do you think the taxpayers of Wisconsin can afford two school systems, two parallel school systems? I don't think so. I think most taxpayers would say my property tax dollars, my tax dollars should go toward public schools. Anybody wants to go to private school, go. There could be scholarships. There could be financial aid. But don't tell us that it's money that's going to public schools and then having it show up on our property tax bill when it's being skimmed off the top and going to private schools. That's not right. So in my newsletter column today, I talk more about how progressives need to do a better job of doing what I just did. And that is blowing up the mythology behind Republican talking points about investing in schools when they don't invest nearly to the degree that they could. I like the way that State Senator Chris Larson put it on social media the other day in saying, we don't actually have a $4 billion surplus because we've been underfunding our schools for 16 years. 16 years of the state share not keeping up with inflation. So that $4 billion would help to make schools whole. Now, I'm not saying that you have to apply the entire $4 billion surplus to it. But what we're hearing from Robin Voss is that virtually nothing from the current surplus is going to be applied because they're making the excuse that they made this great investment in education last year when it was done in name only. It was all smoke and mirrors. It was all an illusion. Again, you can read more at our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Also in there are some stories about Airbnbs and cabins. Especially some remote cabins that are perfect for stargazing. And here up north, we've got all kinds of great places where you can do that without any kind of light pollution. But then there's also an article on how much you might be willing to pay for an Airbnb, especially if it was a house that was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And so more about the Bernard Schwartz house. It's located on East Twin River, about a mile from Lake Michigan, and it'll cost you a few hundred bucks a night, assuming that you have space available when it is that you want to go. So again, learn more about that in today's newsletter as well. Just a couple of quick sports notes to pass along this morning. We know that the Atlanta Hawks beat the New York Knicks last night, so it's the Atlanta Hawks who will face off against the Milwaukee Bucks in Las Vegas for the Emirates Cup semifinals. I'm sorry, I did not give the NBA Cup tournament its due. Let me try this again. The Atlanta Hawks will play the Milwaukee Bucks in Vegas this Saturday in the NBA in-season tournament Emirates Cup semifinals. I like how Greg has just promised to push like half a dozen buttons on his board just to see what comes up to try to promote the NBA Cup.
Eddie, they're just chaos and dumb to me. They're just like, we have a perfectly fine NBA season. They're like, hey, you guys want to make it weirder and more confusing? We're going to throw an in-season tournament in there. Cool, can you explain it? No,
we're just going to tell you there are these games.
Yeah.
And if we tell you they mean something, you'll believe it.
Yeah.
So there you go. In Vegas on Saturday, Bucks versus Atlanta for the chance to play in the finals of these NBA Emirates Cup in-season conference tournament next Tuesday night.
There you go.
Might be more apt, yeah. The Badger women's basketball team improved to 9-2 on the season with a four-game win streak now after beating Butler last night in Indianapolis, 71-64. The Badger women's basketball team is now off until a home game next week, Friday. The Badger men's basketball team will next play this coming Saturday in Indianapolis against Butler. And then, of course, just back to the comment sections really quick. Tony writes, the cup is dumb unless the Bucks win it. Then it's the biggest trophy in sports. Yep, I'd go along with that. Chris Hambuck Boyle, good morning to you. She says, thanks, Pat, for your advocacy for our public schools. And Tony adds, I guess nothing says I love education like having two school systems. Except it's not supposed to work that way. Anyway, we'll unpack some more of the day's headlines coming up wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this cold, cold Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, said he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Eagle 1490 AM.
From the Happy Anniversary Charlie Brown soundtrack, this is Joe Williams.
Little birdie, why do you fly upside down?
Joe Williams was born this day in 1918, passed away in 1999. He's part of today's history lesson. All the rest of it is coming up just a little bit later here on Up North News Radio on this Thursday morning, this cold, cold Thursday morning. Let's see, coming up in less than an hour now is our grown-up gift list text to win contest with all kinds of grown-up grand prizes that you can win. To do so, we're going to give you a keyword just a little after 7 o'clock, and then you'll text that in through the Civic Media app. That puts you in the running to win an hourly prize. Sometimes it's cash. Sometimes it's something like a Wisconsin Dells stay at a resort. We'll tell you about that hour's prize coming up just after 7 o'clock. And then that puts you in the running for the grand prize, which is actually 8 different prizes. There's going to be all kinds of winners getting things off the grown-up gift list as part of our Text to Win contest that will be coming up in just a little bit here on Up North News Radio. Got a hodgepodge of stories to go over here that I wanted to cover in some way, shape, or form. And let me get one of the national ones out of the way here, because I figured the less time I give myself to share it, the less likely it is that I'll say a bad word. But people are going to look back at the Joe Biden years and say, how come Democrats didn't get more done? I mean, especially those first 2 years, you know, the Democrats controlled the House, the Democrats controlled the Senate. Why didn't they get anything done? And I hope, much like that Batman slapping Robin meme that goes around on social media from time to time, I hope somebody puts in the cartoon bubble, because of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, two people who were elected as Democrats in name and then claimed to be, you know, mavericks or independents, when it was pretty clear that they weren't independent in the sense of looking out for their constituents, but looking out just for themselves. Both are leaving Congress now, and not a moment too soon, because there was so much more that the Biden administration could have achieved
over these past 4 years if these two people elected as Democrats had simply been actual Democrats. They were roundly and justly criticized every step of the way when they would, again, show more self-interest than interest for their constituents back home. But now that they're leaving Congress, before they leave Congress entirely, they were asked to make one of their final votes. One of the final votes of Congress coming up here would be for a renomination of one of President Biden's picks to be on the National Labor Relations Board. But Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin joined nearly every Senate Republican in voting 50-49 against renominating President Biden's choice for somebody to sit on the National Labor Relations Board, which opens the door for Republican control of the board starting next year. So again, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema had a chance to do something for the National Labor Relations Board that would guarantee that at least during the Trump years, there would be an entity looking out for workers more so than corporate profits. And Manchin and Sinema just gave all of working America a big middle finger on that. All right, we have not talked about the missing kayaker from Watertown who apparently faked his own demise and is now back in Wisconsin, back in custody. He faked his disappearance. Everybody thought that he had drowned in Green Lake. And I haven't given that much attention. It's a bit of a stunt on his part. I figured either he's going to get away with it or he's not. And, you know, either way, it doesn't impact most folks. But I'm reminded by a story by Claire Reed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday that it did affect a lot of people. And not, of course, just the family of Ryan Borgwardt, but all of the volunteers and the search teams who spent more than a month searching for him, searching for his body or searching for him overall. And one of the volunteer search and recovery experts involved in the case says he will not be seeking compensation for their organization's extensive efforts after the kayaker, faked his death and fled the country back in August. The report quotes Keith Cormican, the founder and director of the Bruce's Legacy Search and Recovery Organization. They assist in the search for and the recovery of possible drowning victims. The organization is named after Keith Cormican's brother, Bruce. He was a Black River Falls firefighter who died while searching for a drowning victim back in 1995. And Claire Reed's story goes on to talk about how Bryce's Legacy volunteers, the Green Lake County Sheriff's Office, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, all teamed up to search for Borgwardt after he was reported missing on August 12th. Borgwardt is a 44-year-old father of three, and he was located this fall alive and in Eastern Europe. And on Tuesday, he was taken into custody at the Green Lake County Jail. He had flown back to Wisconsin and turned himself in. The volunteer group spent about 23 days, some of them 10 to 12-hour days, searching on the lake for Borgwardt's body, sometimes using underwater drones, submersible sonar, and some other high-end technology that Cormican says would have found his body within 2 days if he'd actually been in the lake. And then over an additional 10 days, Cormican reviewed the sonar images in the hopes of bringing closure to Borgwardt's family. He says he thought about taking action against Borgwardt for the time and money that was wasted, but he's decided that he does not want to burden Borgwardt's family with it. He says it'd be nice to be compensated. He cost me a lot of money. If he were filthy rich or something, I guess I wouldn't have a problem with it, but that's not the case here. He says he feels for the family that they have to live through this and figure out the mess that he created. So again, for all those folks who invested time and effort as well as personal anguish for this story, they'll be following Mr. Borgwardt's case through the courts and seeing what kind of restitution he may have to make for this really awful thing that he put his family and the community through. We'll talk to Joe Specky coming up right after this break. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee Air on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Well, we got a World Ag Supply and Demand report out yesterday, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture sees more corn exports in our future. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says that's fine as long as the geopolitical situation globally stays safe.
You watch the geopolitical side of things. Obviously, we got some events in Syria that are concerning, and you know what's happening there. Does that come into play in terms of the Black Sea and you know the movement of grains through that area? So that's something we'll have to keep an eye on. But right now, at least things are kind of flowing. Seems like Panama Canal is working fine. The Mississippi River is working fine, at least in terms of water levels compared to where we were a handful of months ago. So at least at this moment, things are moving fairly nicely. But obviously, those geopolitical events, especially this time of year, can be very shocking to the market. As trade gets a little bit thinner and things are, the market will be watching them very, very closely.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Yesterday's World Ag Supply Demand Report also found greater use of corn in ethanol and lower ending stocks. Not much to report as far as the soybean side of that report. So did it influence the numbers that we're dealing with on a Wednesday morning? We'll check that out next.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the maximum acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
Fairly quiet on the dairy front yesterday. Barrel cheese on Tuesday was down a quarter of a cent, 168 and three quarters, while the AA butter and the 40-pound block cheese both stood still. So, on a Wednesday morning, right now, we've got March corn unchanged, 449. December new crop up a penny at 443. January soybeans are down a penny and a half at 993, with November beans unchanged at 1010. March wheat, penny and a half higher right now at 563. July new crop up two at 579. The January class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 7 right now, 1918 a hundredweight. Just a quick Wednesday market snapshot. I'm PM Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cold, but not as windy today. Mostly sunny with a high between 5 and 10 this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the single digits below zero. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 18 with some light freezing rain and snow by Friday night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, 4 below zero.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin will be joining us. Also, Paul Noonan to talk all things sports and Aaron Rodgers. Don't miss it.
Mattner on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
We are back on Up North News Radio on this Thursday morning, joined as always by Joseph Pecky, though this time he's joining us from a distance. He is out east doing some of his consulting work, and much like his better half who talks to us about climate issues, Joe's working on some climate and union job issues out there as well. Joe, how you doing?
Good. The apple is still big. It is quite Christmassy this time of year. I have seen some very large Christmas trees in my walks around Manhattan. It's a fun time of year to be here.
Yeah, definitely sounds like it. Well, good deal. And so the folks that you're talking to, you know, again, we're kind of navigating these new waters of changing an administration. And to what degree does Trump get his wish or his, you know, rhetoric to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act, and to what degree do a whole bunch of folks go, no, Joe Biden may be gone, but we'd like this thing to stick around?
It probably wouldn't be a very fun segment anymore if I just took the Donald Trump approach every time we talked and say, well, nothing's guaranteed, tomorrow's not guaranteed. That was my favorite president-elect Trumpism from the last couple of weeks. But no, one of the big fights in the new Congress is going to be around energy, and that means what to do about the Inflation Reduction Act and its tax incentives for the development and deployment of cleaner energy sources and technologies. We are at a real moment in Wisconsin where we know that over the coming years, about up to 20,000 or more jobs will be created in clean energy. The largest Wisconsin utilities have all committed to working with organized labor to make sure that the men and women who build these utility scale solar fields are paid a living wage, you know, good wages, and can build careers instead of just, you know, hiring fly-by-night crews that go from one state to the next and then send most of the economic impact back to where they live. There's an economic opportunity here when it comes to green jobs for blue-collar workers. And what we are hopeful about is that more than a dozen Republicans in this coming Congress have said that the tax incentives for utility-scale solar, for utility-scale wind, should not be touched, that this really is unlocking private sector investment. It is creating good paying jobs for blue collar workers of the type that we need and that used to be kind of the deal in this country. You didn't have to go to college, graduate high school, get a good job in a factory or a foundry building stuff. And 35 or 40 years later, you could retire with maybe a nice watch as a retirement gift and a pension. And along the way, have bought a house and raised a family and sent some of the next generation off to college or trade school so that they could live their dreams. That's been the deal. And the Inflation Reduction Act is sort of reintroducing that dream to tens of thousands of Americans. And so we are very optimistic that that will continue. We want to continue to build on that momentum. In Wisconsin, in the next couple of months, we might see the first approvals of large-scale wind farms in more than a decade. You know, the Walker administration really changed the rules, made it hard to do this. Now, because of federal policy, the incentives are there to try to figure out how to make wind work. That too could turn into job creation and energy generation that doesn't just create jobs for these union workers. It also lowers our costs, makes us less reliant on instability around the world when it comes to access to oil, and you name it. And so energy is going to be a big part of the coming years. We obviously need to find a way to generate more domestic energy. Wind and solar are ways we can and will do that in Wisconsin if the Trump administration doesn't get in the way. That's the hope.
I am so glad you mentioned Scott Walker, because it reminds us again that he and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and others tried to claim some level of credit for the good things happening in the Racine, Kenosha area, Pleasant Prairie, especially the Eli Lilly big manufacturing expansion out there for that drug maker, and saying, well, this was all a result of Foxconn, kind of leaving out the part about having to clean up their mess. But they never seem to get tired of reminding us that they messed up.
No, and they always seem to forget that one of the things in Wisconsin we can be really proud of, and that is a real asset to our state, is freshwater. Is our, like, the half the state's on the coast of Lake Michigan. And when you talk about places like Foxconn, like, let's just say, okay, did they have anything to do with it? In order to create those giant glass LED displays, you needed access to fresh water. We had that. We have that in southeastern Wisconsin and in, you know, up and down the coast. They gave away the store, even though they should have known this was going to have to be sited, if it was sited anywhere near freshwater. Now, you know, contrast that with an Evers administration who sees other opportunities, new opportunities for data centers. These massive data centers, like the one that Microsoft is now going to build adjacent to that Foxconn site, are also dependent on freshwater in order to do the cooling for these, you know, rows and rows. And it's like the biggest warehouse you've ever seen, and it's nothing but servers from floor to ceiling. You have to cool those. What do you cool those with? Freshwater. The Evers administration recognizes our strengths, which include our natural resources like access to fresh water. And so they're working with businesses to bring economic development to the state. That's how you do it. You don't cut a bad deal with a foreign company that has a track record of missing out on opportunities like Foxconn. But, you know, you and I can sing that till we're blue in the face. I trust the people of Wisconsin will understand the distinction and the difference, even if Scott Walker and Robin Voss never do.
No. So let's look ahead then to the legislative session that is coming up next month. And it seems with the election past us, I'm tempted to say we now return you to regular programming, Robin Voss being nothing but an obstacle to any kind of progress in the state, already saying that anything that Tony Evers and Jill Underly might propose is already dead on arrival. It just appears like Speaker Voss has learned nothing from having his majority whittled down to a minimum. And I think the governor had the perfect comeback, saying, well, Robin Voss is not the governor. Robin Voss isn't even the boss of the state Senate. And it takes three to tango in this little budget dance.
Yeah, I'm going to choose to basically ignore what Robin Voss says at this point. It's real easy to talk tough and to, you know, peacock, I guess is the word I can say on the radio, before the new legislative session starts. This is a negotiating position and nothing else, and we shouldn't take it as anything else, because we know that with a narrower majority and with more Republicans who are still in the legislature, who have more to fear about losing their seat, there are more incentives to deal and to work with their colleagues on the other side of the aisle. That is, of course, going to happen in the state Senate. And I think, you know, Speaker Voss maybe is wish casting a little bit, that it's like nothing has changed, when he's about to find out that a great deal has changed, if not everything has changed. So don't read too much into the peacocking and, you know, kind of strutting and opening bids up from anybody when it comes to the budget negotiations. We have a long, long way to go between now and a state budget.
And I'm reminded again that we're sitting here with a $4 billion surplus. State Senator Chris Larson put it in a very concise way recently, saying, you know, we don't really have a surplus. We have more than a decade of underfunding education, and yeah, it's past time to do something about that. Now, the governor has been doing budget listening sessions around the state. He'll do his State of the State address. He'll do his budget address then in February, and then the real work begins. But let's take this to the local level. Let's take this to the household level, so that people don't go, state budget, it's time for me to tune out. There's room here with a smaller Republican majority four things to be put into this next budget that maybe wouldn't have been heard of previously when Republicans had a massive majority. Do you have that sense that the next state budget's going to look at least a little different from the first two, three budgets that Governor Evers had to deal with?
I mean, I think it will have to be. There are certain laws of political gravity that find a way to just exist and occur in the universe. So I'm optimistic that this state budget will be able to do more once again to invest in public K-12 education. The governor has been able to do that in previous budgets. I am hopeful that in this state budget, we can do even more to sort of firm up state and local units of government's finances. We are continuing to see, you know, more than a decade after Act 10, that all of the Act 10 promises didn't come to pass. This did not put local units of government on a path to sustainability. And so you've got not just local school districts going to referendum for school funding, you've got municipalities around the state saying, hey, we might need some sales tax revenue just to maintain services, much less to make the kinds of investments we want to make our communities more attractive places to raise a family, to move to start a business. And so when you have $4 billion in there, I am of the mind that you can do maybe one big thing or a couple different medium-sized things. And the medium-sized things strike me as, you know, a little bit of tax relief for working families, those in the middle class. Let's make sure we're not giving handouts to those at the top. Let's plow some of that money back into state and local units of government who do so much of the work that government needs to do, sweeping the streets, getting the trash, you know, local libraries, you know, local elections, the things that actually make our community strong. And then let's also figure out how we can do more to support public education in Wisconsin. We used to be able to hang our hat on that as a state. It was one of our great prides. It was as sort of assumed to be as perpetual a natural resource as that freshwater in Lake Michigan. And we've kind of gotten away from that because we've been funding a second school system in unaccountable voucher schools, most of the money going to families whose kids were already in private schools. That has, in effect, defunded public education. Let's finally get back to investing in our kids, investing in their futures by way of public schools. That has been the way we've done it, and there's reason for it. And it doesn't mean that public schools are perfect, but we are asking them all to do more and more with less and less every 2 years. And that's not fair to the people running the schools. It's not fair to the kids. It's not fair to the parents. We've got to do better. When you have a $4 billion surplus, you have some opportunities to deliver on the promises that have been made over the years.
And yet, even as this whole process gets going, there is a right-wing, quote-unquote, news site that says it's hearing rumblings that Governor Evers has already decided, you know, that he won't run again. And again, this is pure rumor-mongering that they're engaged in. But I wonder if it does have a strategic basis of, if you get people talking about this now, you know, it'll get people to treat Evers like a lame duck in this budget. And I'm sure that if the governor or his folks wanted to address this, and I'm sure they don't, but I'm sure they'd have some strong language about the kind of tactic that certain conservatives are applying here.
Yeah, here we have our second wish casting of the segment this morning. I think if I'm a Republican, yeah, I wish Tony Evers would step aside and not run again. He's the most popular politician in Wisconsin because he doesn't play politics, right? He does his job. He tells you what he thinks. And then he goes and gets as close to that as he can with a frankly, a opposition in the legislature that has never been as reasonable about any of this as he has been. So I can understand why Republicans would want to run him out of town. I don't think they're going to be that fortunate. Yeah. And if we've got 30 seconds for me to just say one last thing, speaking of not playing politics, I do want to give some kudos to Josh Call for delivering on the promise of accountability for the bad actors around the 2020 election. Doesn't matter that we're a whole election into the future. I know there's some questions about why the 10 electors themselves haven't been charged, but Josh Call appears to be doing his job, which was going where the facts lead. We may, out of political vindication and spite, want to see more people charged. It looks to me like DOJ is following the facts and indicting the worst actors, the bad actors, and that these two attorneys lied to those fake electors. So kudos to the Attorney General for seeking justice on behalf of all of us.
Joe Zepecki, he's so good. He answers questions I didn't even have time to ask. He feeds them right in there and gets things done. Travel safe. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
All right. When we come back, we will have today's history lesson and more on Up North News Radio.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Now this man here is going to take me by the hand.
This is Albert Sinatra talking to Count Basie on the piano.
And all that other mother jazz in the right tempo. Fly me to the moon.
Old Blue Eyes, the chairman of the board, was born this day in 1915. One of the most popular entertainers of the mid-20th century. I would argue that he... His popularity early on in his singing career, I mean, let's just say it. Frank Sinatra is the Taylor Swift of his era. Or is Taylor Swift the Frank Sinatra of our era? You be the judge.
I would say that what Frank Sinatra brings to the table, Taylor Swift fans should appreciate. And Frank Sinatra fans should appreciate what she does for entertainment. So there should be a mutual respect. You don't have to like their music, but there should be a mutual respect for a dedication to entertainment.
Listen to you. Greg Bach for governor, ladies and gentlemen. That was the best political answer I could ever hear about comparing and contrasting Taylor Swift.
I'm running for dog catcher. Hi-ya!
Also born this day, Bob Barker was born 101 years ago today. He passed away in August of last year. We mentioned earlier that jazz singer Joe Williams, he was born on this day in 1918. And happy birthday to Dionne Warwick. She is 84 years old today.
I didn't realize today was her birthday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So many good songs that she did with Burt Bacharach. Let's see. On this day in 1970, the number one song was by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. They started a 2-week run at the top of the charts with this.
Another legendary intro.
Mm-hmm. Tears of a Clown, the number one song this day in 1970. Let's see. On the birth. Oh, wait a minute. Tony has a bone to pick with us. He says, we're just leaving out Bob Zimmerman in talking about Frank Sinatra and Taylor Swift. Okay. For the purposes of this conversation, Tony, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, look, Bob Dylan has a Nobel Prize. Okay. Nobody's taking anything away from Bob Dylan.
It's also Frank Sinatra's birthday. Jeesh.
That's right. So remember this on Bob Dylan's birthday that I'm going to compare him to Taylor Swift and make everybody happy. Happy birthday as well to, let's see, Gorman Thomas, the former Brewer, is 74 years old today.
Nice.
Also born on this day in 1943, the late Grover Washington Jr.
Would this be Yacht Rock?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yes. This is, by the way, with Bill Withers on the vocals. Grover Washington Jr. was the saxophone player here. That was his song. Actress Regina Hall is 54 today. Maya Bialik is 49 today. And singer Sheila E. is 67 today.
Oh, no. It's still going away. Grover Washington still fitting well. Oh, no.
Happy birthday, Sheila E.
Oh, yes. Do you know, Pat, what all of these fantastic artists have in common?
What is that?
They share a birthday with someone who was born 47 years ago today. Me.
47 years ago. Let's see. I'm checking. I don't see that in the Wikipedia page here.
That's true.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Oh, okay. Is it seriously your birthday today?
Today's my birthday.
Stop the music. If I had a control board here and could either get a needle skipping off a record or somebody slamming on the brakes and making skid marks, I would. So never mind all the rest of this. It's your birthday today.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. It's Pat.
Yes.
It's my birthday.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Oh. There it is. That's the best I can do on a short notice.
Okay. You're probably wondering how this happened. I know that Greg has mentioned a couple of times being a December birthday baby.
Yeah.
I think I was maybe expecting a mention like the day before going, hey, can't wait to go to work on my birthday and celebrated.
No, man, that's not how I roll, man. I'm just like, here's the thing is, I love my birthday. It's my day. It's the day of many wonderful people out there. But I'm also, I don't walk in with balloons tied to my head and I'm like, oh, it's my birthday week.
Do you not have party favors, like little heads on sticks like mine here?
I got to wait another 13 years before I get those.
Oh, boy. That's, well.
But yeah.
I think, look, your wife is just as capable of embarrassing you as mine is of me. So you don't have to wait for 60
for her
to do that.
That's not embarrassing, Pat. That is a tribute. That is a beautiful gift.
Of having my face on cupcakes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
I just feel so...
Hey, Pat, don't feel anything other than what you're feeling right now, wishing me happy birthday. That's all I care about. Don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty. Don't do any of that stuff.
Okay.
We're buddies.
Today is National Poinsettia Day.
Ooh.
Today is Gingerbread House Day. Today is International Universal Health Coverage Day.
Ooh.
Today is National Ambrosia Day.
Not the soft rock group.
No. The dessert that's made using pineapples, mandarin oranges, cherries, maybe some coconut, all in a pillowy bath of either whipped cream or marshmallow cream or yogurt. And some people find that to be a wonderful treat, and other people find it to be kind of, mushy and gross. And Greg would be one of them. So there will be no birthday candle in a dish of ambrosia for Greg. And then finally today, today is, it's Greg Bach's birthday, everybody. Greg Bach, happy birthday to you. This is amazing.
I didn't see that coming,
this
Pat.
Is great news.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Everything else just pales in comparison to the fact that my friend and board operator decided to come to work today.
I did,
He's not in Miami, jet setting like other birthday people do.
No.
He is right here on the job. Silly
this
boy.
Guy.
He'll learn.
This guy.
Happy birthday.
Thanks,
Bob. Your chance to win in our next grown-up gift list text to win contest coming up after the news here on Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we make our popcorn pick of the week with morning show host and former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. And Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show, who has likely seen Jim's pick.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces, a new adventure, create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. American Travis Timmerman, who turned up in Syria today, says he was detained after crossing into the country by foot on a Christian pilgrimage 7 months ago.
He was found in the street, not wearing any shoes, his beard long, hungry, but broadly speaking in good health.
ABC's James Longman outside of Damascus. The White House says it's monitoring the investigation into mysterious large drones spotted flying over sensitive locations in the Northeast. Dozens of sightings reported since last month. The Pentagon denies Iran is responsible. FBI Director Christopher Wray announcing he'll resign at the end of the Biden administration in January, more than 2 years before his term was set to end. Wray faced pressure from President-elect Trump after the FBI investigations into Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. President Biden today announcing he's pardoning 39 people who were convicted of nonviolent crimes, plus more than 1,500 commutations. This is ABC News.